there's no other way to say it. It was a heartbreaking weekend for Socceroos fans after Australia was knocked out of the World Cup in a penalty shootout against Egypt. Well, watching the game very closely was Kai Lammert, a former professional football player in Germany, whose passion for the game has led him down under for a very different assignment. Kai now coaches the Pararoos, that is Australia's national football team for players with cerebral palsy and other neurological disorders, including stroke and traumatic brain injury. Since 2015, he's been building a world-class team and helping increase the visibility of his athletes. I'm delighted to say that Kai Lammert is my guest this morning on Changing Australia. Kai, welcome.
Yeah, good morning.
How does it make you feel as a former player and now coach for many years? What was it like for you watching those final moments in that Socceroos match against Egypt on the weekend?
Oh, obviously very nerve-wracking as well. And we all would have loved to see a win there, but the boys still made Australia very proud.
Yeah, they gave it their all. Your story, Kai, you were playing at an elite level in Germany. Can you give us a sense of the level of dedication and energy and commitment that's required to play at those high levels?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, growing up in Germany, it's football is sort of a football and a jersey is given to you when you're born. And it obviously it sort of goes from like to love to passion, I guess. And a lot of hours of football, but you don't see it as work or commitment. When you have the love or passion for something, you just play, right?
So tell me about how you became involved with the Pararoos. You came to Australia, you were involved with a soccer academy. 2006, you become the assistant coach of the Pararoos. What drew you to that role, do you think, Kai?
Yeah, so I finished my career playing, and then the first thing I thought about, I'd love to stay involved, and that was coaching. And there was no better way, obviously, to stay involved for me personally, because I thought I want to give back to the game and still enjoy it. And 2006, I was in Australia, obviously, and friend of mine got the job as a head coach of the Pararoos, Paul Brown, and he asked me if I want to be involved and as an assistant coach originally, and I thought I didn't know much about cerebral palsy at the time, and I didn't know much about what the team was all about, and all he said you'll love it and it will change your life, and these words still ring in my head, and that's pretty much every staff member who gets involved with us now hears the same sentence. So that's for sure.
The team members each have their own individual profile. How can things like cerebral palsy, acquired brain injury, or symptoms from stroke, how can they affect the way that someone plays the game of football, Kai?
Yeah, so you'll see also everyone has some form of brain injury, and that means that either a leg or a limb is affected. So it could be one leg, it could be both legs, or it could be in all four limbs. And you'll see it. If you see what some of the top nations playing, you're going to have to look a little bit closer, because they are all doing this professionally. But you'll see you see the players out there, that's for sure.
And have you adapted your coaching methods to be effective for this kind of branch of the game?
It's very similar. What I love about it is it's similar in a way. It's the same principles when it comes to coaching, but it's somewhat diverse because the game is a little bit different. It's a smaller field. It's seven aside. You've got classification, as I mentioned earlier, with FT1, FT2, FT3. So there's various of disabilities, and we then can only play one FT3, for example, who it's the least affected. And we have to play an FT1, which I mentioned earlier, is four limbs affected. So what I've been drawn to, besides obviously all the off-field stuff, is the on-field work, which is very, it's a bit more diverse than your 11-a-side, that's for sure.
And it sounds like it's quite tactical as well.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, we don't have offside, so the physical demands on each player are quite high. And yes, it's very tactical as well.
Tell me about the stories and life experiences of some of the players. As you're saying, there's a variation there. Someone might have cerebral palsy, so they've known that for all of their life. Someone else may have acquired a brain injury along the way. They're very different stories, even though everyone's in the same team, kind of.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what I found absolutely the most fascinating. So every single player has their own story of resilience, and some, you know, they went through hardship through their lives at the very start. If it's ranks from, you know, if you've been bullied at school, for example, or you know, I mean, we had one player. And that sort of sits with me. It was 2015 when I started, and the first time I heard his story, you know, made me sort of shiver a bit. It was literally 2 years before that tournament. He had a skateboard accident, and his mom was told, hey, you know, it's a yes or no. Do you want to turn off the machines? And that's sort of when it really hit me as well, when I heard this story. And then 2 years after that, he was man of the match against Portugal in the 2015 World Cup. So that's only one story. I mean, literally every single one of these players has got an amazing story of resilience.
With some of the acquired brain injuries, are there behavioural complications with that sometimes, Kai?
They can be. In our team, it's not so much. But definitely, yes, it's a brain injury that could affect any part of the brain. And you know, sometimes it could be speech. It could be, you know, like aggression. We had a player in Western Australia who had a kite through his head. And he's now, obviously, he's afraid of flying, so he's difficult for us to get him involved. He's a very good player, and you know, but again, all these different stories, it's mind-blowing.
You're listening to Changing Australia on Radio National Breakfast. My guest today is the head coach of Australia's Pararoos football team, Kai Lammett. Kai, looking at some of the photographs online, the Pararoos are wearing the Australian kit, just like the Socceroos. What kind of reaction do you get from the players when they put that on for the first time?
It's always very, very special. I mean, there's no difference there. And again, we're quite lucky. We're involved with Football Australia, and it's a very inclusive organisation. And we put the shirts on, and there's no doubt I'm the coach, but the players put the shirts on, and there's no difference in you know, any of the Socceroos or Matildas putting a shirt on. It's the same feeling. Listen to the national anthem. It's amazing.
What's the global scene like for this kind of football for people with neurological conditions or injuries?
I mean, it varies. Like, we've got some programs where the players are playing professionally. I mean, there was a time when Ukraine and Russia had a go at each other, literally on the football field a few years back, and they were professional athletes, so they were literally doing this for a living and getting really good money. Other countries as well, like the USA, investing the World Cup later is in the USA again, so they're investing a lot of money and resources into the game, and that's obviously a bit different from our side. Like, it's really hard for us, for example, to have just one camp cost $40,000. Well, that's could be the, you know, half the budget in Germany, where you can literally drive to every training camp.
And how much funding is there? Are the players supported for this kind of travel, especially internationally and domestically, or is it pay to play?
No, the players have actually got to pay a lot of money to do their own training, right? Because we only have them, let's say, once, or when we're lucky, 2-3 times in camp before we have a pre-departure camp, and then we go to the tournament. So a lot of, you know, particularly, I said, when they do individual training, that's cost a lot of money in this country. And we, you know, I said, one of my biggest goals is to get these players to play professionally and get them into programs where they can be, because they are role models to the younger kids with cerebral palsy, and that's sort of something we'll definitely want to build on.
Where does Australia sit globally with this brand of football?
We're currently number 12 in the world, which is very good, very high, and we hope to improve on that at the World Cup in the USA. And I've got all confidence in the players that we can achieve that.
And the Para Matildas, they're ranked number one for women's football in this category, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They it's still a very fresh sport. So you have, I think on the boys' side, around 60, 70 countries playing, while on the girls' side, there's around 10 or 12 that are sort of taking on the game. And we obviously, it was 2019, we started the program quite early and quite very professionally as well. So we had a bit of a head start as well. I think you can see some of the other countries, particularly USA, catching up and having very good programs as well. But, for us, it was very good to get this head start. And now for the Para Matildas as well, it's maintaining that standard and, being on top.
Kai, the Brisbane Paralympic Games are on their way in 2032. What are the chances of the Pararoos and Para Matildas being part of that?
I think the chances are very high. I mean, you've got this amazing sport. You've got an incredible new leadership within the IFCPF, our president and CEO, and also Katrina Hicks, who's working in the committee now as well. There's some incredible talented people who want to help and assist us getting back into the Paralympics. And I'm confident because we've got a male and a female sport that is an exciting sport that is played by lots of countries all around the world. And our last home game, we had about 1,000 people watching, and I think it was last World Cup, over 2 million views online. So the hunger or desire for this game to be out there on the world stage and at the Paralympic Games is certainly there.
As a coach and a former player, what have you learnt from this whole experience with the Pararoos?
What have I learned? I think they taught me more than what I taught them. I mean, I think resilience is obviously the big one. Obviously I'm very passionate and love the team and what the program can provide, particularly some of my players, they're role models for the younger kids. And there's nothing bigger and better for a kid with cerebral palsy or brain injury to see their role models performing on a world stage. And when you then meet them, we try to always invite some kids in. We've got open days and we've got mentoring days. We've got Pararoos development centres where these kids can then meet their idols. And they're certainly not disappointed. Sometimes you meet your idol and you get disappointed, but with these guys, they're absolute legends and they learn so much from them.
Well, it's been fascinating to hear about the team. Kai, thanks for making some time this morning to join me on Changing Australia.
Oh, thank you.
Kai Lammett there is the head coach of the Pararoos football team. And if you've got a suggestion, you think you know someone who'd be a great guest for us on Changing Australia, there's one way that you can put their name forward, and that is you need to go to abc.net.au/changingaustralia. Some stray emails are coming in from all over the place, but this is actually the place that you need to go. So I'll give that website address to you again. It is abc.net.au/changingaustralia. Only take you a minute or two to nominate someone that you know, you work with, someone in your community who'd make a great guest on the segment.